address the subject again of leadership. We talked a little bit about leadership in the split session. I'd like for us to consider that again. That is so important. And there's so much in our world that resists male leadership in our culture and around the world. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us. We desire to honor and exalt and glorify the Lord in our homes. And Father, I know that there are a number of folks here who are deeply committed to marriage and to doing things God's way, to living their life as you would have them to. And I pray, Father, you'll help us to see that you've given us the biblical pattern. Help us to follow that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you open your Bible with me, please, to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses, and we're going to talk about spiritual leadership this morning. I think that there are a lot of destructive voids in American families today and in a lot of cultures around the world. Strong male leadership is one of those serious deficiencies. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." And this passage of Scripture speaks to people of all ages and of all stations in life, but I believe that the thing that we want to concentrate on today is male leadership, that the young men, the older men, be instructed to be sober-minded and to take the place of leadership that God has given them. You know, it's in our DNA, I think, to want to be the boss, especially the man, to want to be the boss of things. And I recall years ago when one of our granddaughters was quite young, she took great pleasure in bossing around her younger brother. And the mom in wisdom said, "You're not anybody's boss. You can boss the family dog, but that's the only one that you can boss in this family." And that was not much consolation for her, because she wanted to be the boss. And we have, in a lot of cases today, we have a matriarchal system that dictates family life in a lot of cultures. There's a dominant female influence on boys growing up in single-parent families. There's a shortage of accessible, positive male role models. And it's a shame that any male you can look to in our culture that excels in some area probably is not a positive role model, probably is not the type of person you'd want your son to be. And so there's a real shortage of good examples for us to point to and say, this is somebody whose example you should follow. Men oftentimes fail to step up and meet the demands of leadership. What is leadership? Well, I think it's a responsibility. It is, besides responsibility, it is opportunity. It's a goal, and I want us to consider the spiritual leadership, the privilege of leadership. And the first area of concern is the responsibility of leadership that must be pursued. Often, the responsibilities of leadership come knocking. And I've given reference to earlier in the men's session, that sometimes the wife will recognize and notice things that the husband doesn't notice and will ask him to do something about this. And if he says, if he puts aside the computer or turns off the TV or gets up from where he's sitting in a recliner and says, okay, I'll do that. He's being responsive, but he's not being responsible. He is taking the leadership as she has dictated it to him, but he's not necessarily taking leadership. And this involves the man who gets along with God and figures out what needs to be done. That's what leadership is about. And so he seizes that responsibility rather than just being willing to answer the call when it falls to him. And there are those who won't. I recall very well pastoring a young lady who was visiting the area, finishing her degree program, and she said she complained about her husband who told her, actually said in so many words, I work, I bring home the bacon, and when I come home from work, I'm done. You take care of everything around here. You take care of the kids. You take care of leading the family. I'm meeting my responsibility because I am bringing home the paycheck each week. And she was about ready to call it quits in that marriage because of that absenteeism on his part, where he would not take the responsibility of leadership himself. And he was not a saved man, obviously. She claimed to be a saved lady. But the responsibility of leadership was being seriously neglected on his part. And in one sense, you couldn't blame her if she decided that that's not how she wanted to live. The woman is not equipped to take that role of spiritual leadership. She takes it too personally, and she takes it emotionally. And that's why God made males and females different. By the way, and you all agree with me on this, that if you're a male, you're a male. If you're a female, you're a female, and that's how God made you. Amen? Amen. And there's no debating that issue, and you decide for yourself what your gender will be, contrary to popular political, I think they're mostly political conclusions that people draw today. God made us different. God made the man to be the leader of the family, and that's what he's supposed to be, and he should accept that responsibility of leadership. He should take that responsibility very seriously and fulfill its requirements. He should be pursuing responsibility, and sometimes he does not. He should be pursuing leadership. You don't find gold lying on your doorstep. You've got to dig for it. And I would say to every man who's in this room today that you have to go and pursue the role of leadership. You have to go and seek it. And seek answers from the Lord and get an answer from God as to the steps that you take, as to the leadership that you experience, that you pursue for yourself and for your wife and for your family. And it's not a matter of saying, well, honey, what do you want to do today? What does God want us to do today is a better question. And if the Lord wants us to be in church, which he does, that's what we'll do. We will do that. And if you don't want to go, that's fine. If you don't feel like you're up to it, I'll go by myself. There's too much of this. I think there's way too much of, you know, one family member is sick, so everybody's sick. Everybody misses because one family member happens to be sick. And you should not ignore sickness, but that's a frustration when there's not any stronger conviction about leadership than that. And it's so critically important.
Amen.
You've got to seek out that leadership. An example of a leader husband is, my wife seems to be bothered by something. What does she need from me right now? And seeking from the Lord, what it is that is missing? What is this lacking? And God, give me an answer to this situation, because the key to my leadership role in my family rests in my relationship to you. And it ought to be a higher priority for the husband to be walking in the Spirit, to be walking with God, than it is even for him to be taking his role of responsibility and leadership in the home, because the two are inseparable. You can't be the kind of leader that you ought to be unless you are right with the Lord. Amen. You cannot be a spiritual leader unless you're a spiritual man first. And could that be said of you? Are you a godly man? Are you a spiritual man? I pray that you are. I pray that those who are not will become that, because that becomes a key to your spiritual leadership role in your home. It must be pursued. We've got to be moving in that direction on purpose. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We've read verse 7 a number of times. We'll read it again. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." She is the weaker vessel, and he's got to learn about his wife so he can meet her needs and protect her. And this assumes that he's praying. This assumes the fact that his prayers can be hindered assumes that he is praying. He is seeking the Lord himself, and he's learning about his wife by what the Spirit of God teaches him about her, so he can lead her properly, so he can lead his family properly. And spiritual leadership falls right into this classification. Ephesians chapter 5, again on the subject of the home. Aren't you glad that God gives us so much biblical instruction in all areas of life? Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. We don't have to be guessing. We can just study the Word of God and find out what God says about it. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, the Bible says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And this dictates active care. He is nourishing and cherishing her on purpose. He's caring for his wife and for his family intentionally. And that's about leadership. He is seeking to be the spiritual leader of his home. I think about a man named Lot in the scriptures in Genesis 19. He lost his wife. And it was recently pointed out that she's the only woman in the Bible that the Spirit of God stresses. Remember about her. Remember Lot's wife. Think about her. And her name is not even given in the scriptures. But she was a woman who undoubtedly was suffering for the lack of spiritual leadership. And he got himself into the position of leadership in the city of Sodom, a very wicked city. Lost his adult children as a result of it, and lost his wife as a result of it, because Lot was a man who did not accept the spiritual leadership position that God had placed in his control, under his responsibility. And so he paid a dear price for that. He was willing to give up his daughters, and what a tender, loving relationship he had with them. Isn't that incredible that Lot would offer up his own daughters to this wicked crowd who were clamoring for the angels at the door of his home? He was willing to sacrifice his own daughters. That's a terrible documentary, a terrible commentary on his lack of spirituality and lack of leadership in that regard. He should have treasured and valued and protected them even to his own loss, but he was unwilling to do that. He would not stand up against the prevailing tenor of the day in that wicked city. And he was apparently, according to verse 17 and 26 of Genesis chapter 19, he was unaware of his own wife's carnal state. And I think it's important that he chose prosperity over purity. And every man feels the importance of providing for his own. But don't ever imagine that God wants you to choose prosperity over purity.
Amen.
Don't ever imagine that God wants you to choose the better job if it exacts a terrible spiritual toll on your life.
Amen.
Oh, we'll survive. We'll make do. We'll do all right. That's not God's plan.
Amen.
I've told men who came to me seeking counsel or asking advice about a particular position, God can give you a job anywhere.
That's true.
You need to be where the Lord wants you to serve Him.
Amen.
And if He's not leading you to a different church, don't move there just because you get a better job.
Amen.
That's got nothing to do with it. Don't choose profit over purity. Don't choose reputation over responsibility. Don't choose leisure over godly leadership. And Lot was a man who paid dearly for the unwillingness that he had to make sacrifices of that nature. You recall back in the day when Abraham detected, and it was apparent to everybody that there was a strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham, that Abraham said, you just choose. You choose the direction you want to take. And Lot was motivated by his desire for material gain. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he said, that's the way we want to go. And he didn't realize the dangers that accompanied that bad choice on his part.
That's right.
Even though it was wise for him financially, because I think he did profit financially, that was a very small price. It was too large a price to pay. It was a very small benefit that he experienced as a result of what he sacrificed. He did not take the leadership over his home, and he did not take the responsibility. And so the question that we would ask in this regard to the responsibility of leadership is, husband, dad, what do you expect of your wife? What do you expect from her? And I think probably most men would say, I expect her to be spiritually minded. Well, how is she going to get that way? Does God give the woman the command to be a spiritual and a godly woman, or is that responsibility of leadership placed upon him? And will he help her to be a godly woman? Will he encourage her to pray? Will he encourage her? Will he lead her in spiritual understanding? Will he give her devotional time? And will he share his devotions with her relative to him helping her to become a spiritual person? My wife has said to me many times over the years, and I deeply appreciate her, and I don't know if God will give us 60 years together or not, but we're coming up on 50, and that's a great blessing. But she's told me many times, she said, I understand spiritual things so much better because of the leadership responsibility that I felt compelled to take back in the day. And that's a great blessing to me. The fact that we can serve the Lord together, we're heirs together of the grace of life. And the Bible would teach us that this is a serious responsibility. How did Eve do when she was left to herself? Well, the Bible tells us that she was deceived. She was seduced when she was left to herself. A wife doesn't need to be left to herself. She needs leadership. She needs godly guidance in her life. She's going to be affected more by her emotions than by truth in some cases. And so she needs a man. She needs a godly husband to lead her. I've talked to a lot of single ladies over the years who have said they just wish they had a godly husband. Maybe they didn't have a husband at all. And the Lord will compensate for that situation. But it's God's perfect plan. Just like it's not good for the man to be alone, it's not good for the woman to be alone either. She needs somebody to lead her. She needs a godly husband. And that is what a lady who really loves the Lord truly wants. She wants somebody who will lead her in the things of the Lord, who will lead her in spiritual things. And so the responsibility of godly leadership falls on the man. And it's his duty, it's his job to lead her in the things of the Lord. What do you expect of your children? Do you expect them to become spiritually minded all alone? Well, they need the Lord in their life. But man, you're the leader. You're the one who leads them. That's the reason the Bible says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Does the wife not play a role in that situation? Certainly she does. She plays a major role. But ultimately, the responsibility is on the man to take the leadership, to be the man of God, to be the godly man that God has called him to be.
Amen.
What do those children need right now from you? What do your children need from you right now? And if you can't answer that question, you need to find out the answer, because they need you. They need you. They need you today. They need you right now. And that is the responsibility of leadership for the man. We find out, we do something about it. What do I want these children to become, and how's that going to happen? Well, the man needs to be a godly person. He needs to demonstrate godliness and consistency on a daily basis. I think it's a good idea to take each child to know the children personally, and not treat them like they're a flock or a herd, because they're individuals. I think it's a good thing for a father to take a child out for the day, just to spend alone time with that child each day. And we can't know the heart of the child unless we do spend special time with that child. And that serves a dual purpose, because it also tells the child, you're special to me. You are an individual, and I love you, and I respect you, and I want to spend time with you personally today. That's a great thing, and a responsibility of spiritual leadership. We take a special interest in your child. How are you doing? Have you had any particular struggles lately? And Mom builds this image in the minds of the children. If you have a spiritual question, go ask Dad. I hear testimonies sometimes, and I'm not against this absolutely, but I hear testimonies. My mom led me to the Lord. I always am thinking, Dad should have led the child to the Lord. It should have been Dad who was dealing with the child. That should have been Dad to whom Mom was sending that child with spiritual questions and issues. And whether she had confidence to do that or not, or whether she just wanted to help the child, I don't know. But she contributes mightily to the image, to the impression, to the opportunity of spiritual leadership that the husband, the dad, has in that child's life. And there's a second principle besides the responsibility of leadership. There is the opportunity of leadership, and that has to be received with humility. And the father often says, I'm not worthy of that. And I wouldn't argue with him in that regard. I can't. Well, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. I can be the man that God wants me to be. I can be the example. I can be the leader that God has called me to be. God has given me this responsibility, and I can and should accept that role and take that level. But I don't have the background. I don't have the opportunity, never had the opportunities that my wife had growing up. That doesn't matter. God can equip. I think of men in the Bible who did not grow up in a godly situation, yet they became godly men. And God can accomplish his purposes in lives even though we don't have all the opportunities that some people had from their childhood.
Amen.
God wants every man to be the spiritual leader in his home.
Amen.
And don't allow an excuse for not being that. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is an interesting passage on what the opportunity of leadership entails. It must be accepted with humility. It must be received in a humble heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." I think that's a powerful statement, taking the oversight thereof. "Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And obviously, this is about pastors. He's not to be a lord, he's to be a shepherd. A lord makes demands, while a shepherd leads for the benefit of the sheep. A lord wants to be served, while a shepherd seeks to serve the sheep. A lord considers himself a master, while a shepherd considers himself a servant. And even though he doesn't crave that position of leadership, he needs to be followed. I think about the 23rd Psalm, where there's a shepherd and there are the sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What's that term? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He takes me where there's plenty of food to eat, and I'm not necessarily hungry. I don't even necessarily want to stay there, but he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Someone pointed out the fact that still waters are the ideal place for a sheep to, or for a lamb to water. But this shepherd takes me where there's plenty, and I'm not even necessarily thirsty. I'm not even necessarily hungry. But that's where God wants me to be, and I will follow my shepherd wherever he takes me. And the opportunity of spiritual leadership is something that's given and something that's expected of the man who's in a place of leadership. Does the shepherd sometimes lead with insistence? Yes, because he's seeking the flock's best. Does he direct? Does he change directions? Does he redirect sometime, with the exception of the sheep, the expectation of the sheep following him? Yes, he is their shepherd, and they need to be led. They need to be led. And this is true in a home as well as it's true in a church. The sheep need to be led. Those who are under the charges of the leader need to be directed, need to be led into profitable paths. And so we have this opportunity of leadership as well as the responsibility of leadership. Does the leader take the initiative to produce the best results in the flock? Yes, he does. This is his responsibility as a shepherd to bring about the best possible results with the flock. He is the leader. He is the one who guides their steps. He is the one who directs them. And they are willing to follow him. I think about the Lord's statement in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." And the Lord is our example, of course. And we can't give anybody eternal life, but we certainly can take the authority and take the leadership role that God has given to us as men to be the leaders that God wants us Amen. To be. There is a privilege, there's an opportunity that leadership presents to us. And look in your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, hear the Bible. Says, "This is the true saying, if a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." Why is that a good work? Well, it's a blessing to be able to be in a role of leadership, to be in a place of leading others. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife. I read a book years ago written by a fellow named Gene Getz, who said, he was talking about the marks of a godly man. And he said every man should seek. Oh, this is talking about pastors. These are the qualifications for a pastor. He said, you don't know what God may ask you to do at some point. You should strive to have these same qualities in your life regardless. And that's good advice, I think. The Bible says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The Bible teaches that every man, that the man should be one who is experienced, one who has his life under control, one who is under the control of the Spirit of God, so that he can be the kind of leader that God would have him to be. Mm-hmm. Not only for the benefit of a church, but also for the benefit of a family. And so every man should ask himself, am I the leader that God wants me to be? Somebody said that there's a huge difference between the banyan tree and the banana tree. The banyan tree leaves kind of a scorched earth underneath its branches and its root system because it draws all the nutrients from the soil directly under the tree. And nothing else grows where the banyan tree thrives. And it may appear to be a strong tree, but it does not produce life ultimately. In contrast is the banana tree, which allows others. In fact, it sends out shoots, and other small banana trees begin to grow around that root system, around the tree. And it provides for opportunities for others to thrive and be blessed in that situation. What a contrast. What a difference between those two kinds of trees. Some leaders are threatened by other young people who are young men who are rising to a role of leadership. But that is what God has purposed us to be. God wants us to raise up others who will follow in his steps as well. Wise spiritual leadership has the goal of preparing and producing leaders. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is a great portion of scripture and one that should be marked in your Bible if you don't have it marked already. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There has to be a progression of the right kind of leadership, or the values will eventually be lost. And I've said this many times over the years, that what we don't speak aloud, what we say we believe but we don't proclaim, we won't long believe. We won't believe it very long if we don't proclaim it. And I say that to preachers because it's important that we preach the truth. But it's true in families as well. If we say we believe something but we never talk about it, we won't long believe it. We won't long practice it.
Right.
And so these things need to be repeated. These things need to be spoken. These things need to be practiced in life. The Bible is full, and history is full of examples of people who said they believed one thing, but they didn't pass it down to the next generation. I think about the nation of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Bible talks about that generation of people who knew God, who followed Moses, but the next generation didn't know him at all. They didn't know anything about God. They didn't follow God. And to me, this signals a real lack of spiritual leadership. God help us, that we would be the kind of leaders that God wants us to be. And to be fair to that generation, we would say that they didn't have very many good examples of spiritual leadership to follow. They had Moses and Joshua, but they did not have godly dads and moms. But they still had the responsibility of passing the faith down to the next generation. And it was a responsibility that they failed to accept and failed to take. May God help us to be strong in leadership. May God help you as a man to be the kind of leader that God wants you to be. The kind that seeks God and gives confidence to his wife because she's married to a man who is seeking God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless as we think about this principle of leadership. Father, every person, every man is given this responsibility. And a godly wife will appreciate a husband who stands up and takes his role of leadership and responsibility in the home. Father, I pray that you'll help men to be strong in the Lord. Help us to exemplify these qualities, these principles. Nobody can do it except us. Father, I pray that we will take that responsibility. This world is crying out for real, strong, good, godly leadership. And we may not see that that is something that's incumbent upon us. We may not see that it even yields a benefit, a direct result, but the Bible is always true. Father, I pray that you'll help men in this room today to be godly leaders. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us this time. And I pray that you would strengthen us as a result of the time that we've spent together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Hammond.